Well, did everybody have a good Christmas? Did you survive the frantic pace of getting ready for the celebration? And you had a good time doing it? And now you have the next step, which is what? Cleanup. Oh, you had to bring that up, didn't you? Yes, you had the cleanup, and then we have New Year's, right? And what does New Year's bring? All those resolutions. You know, we're sitting there resolving that we're going to be healthier this year, that we're going to be more fruitful this year, that we're going to be more effective this year. It's going to be different this year. Do I hear an amen on that? And how many of you have ever kept a New Year's resolution? Very few of us, right? Isn't that a bummer that we don't do that? Well, I'm here this morning to challenge you for one thing. I want you to resolve this morning with the Lord's help to be able to do only one thing. And this one thing, if you're willing to do it, will change everything in your life and make it better. Is that a crazy thing? One thing that can make everything in your life significantly better. You ready for that? Okay, we're going to talk about that today as we're going to unpack that in just a minute. And we'll talk about what that one thing is. We live in a world that's full of quick fixes. True? We have fast food. We have fast transportation, immediate information and communication. We have immediate problem solving available for us. We even have wrinkle cream that purports to be able to immediately resolve the problem with the wrinkles in our face. Boy, that is cool. And actually, and overall, it's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? I'm not talking about the wrinkle cream. I'm talking about just the fact that everything's so fast and that we have it. I mean, it's an awesome thing. Do I hear an amen on that? Okay, this morning I want to talk to you about a miraculous quick fix that can change most of everything in your life and make it better. In fact, scientists over the last 20 years, scientists and researchers have done a lot of studies on this, and they've come up with the realization that this one thing, when you have a daily dose of this one thing in your life, that it radically changes almost every component of your life. And not only that, but it's biblical. Go figure that one. Do I sound like an infomercial? Send me 3 easy payments, make it 2 payable to Monty Sharp, and I will give you something that will change your life forever and make it better. And it's really true, though. This is a biblical-based thing. You add this component to your life every day, and it radically changes everything in your life and makes it significantly better all the way around. I'm losing my microphone here, but we'll hang in here. Okay, let's start with the physical component. If you take this one component every day, the physical realm of your life is increased. Scientists say this, researchers say this, and the Bible says this. This component, when you take it once a day, increases the physical realm of your life by increasing your overall health. Is that a good thing? It gives you more energy. That's definitely a good thing, right? It increases the longevity of your life. Wow, can we say hallelujah on that one? This science says this. Researchers say this. It lowers our blood pressure. It increases our sleep and its effectiveness. It makes us more alert. Pretty good stuff, huh? And from a relational standpoint, as we take this component once a day, our relationships become deeper and healthier. You become more generous, more compassionate, kinder, and more forgiving. I see some of the spouses going, "Yeah, well, you need to take some of this." From an emotional standpoint, it lessens our depression, and it lessens our envy of other people. It makes us more joyful and satisfied and resilient and relaxed, enthusiastic, attentive, and happy. You really are ready to sign up for this, aren't you? And from a personality standpoint, it lessens our egocentricity, our self-centeredness, and our materialistic attitude. It increases our optimism, our spiritual awareness, our connectedness, and it gives me a healthy understanding of your worth and your value, not just mine. Now, I know that some of you are elbowing your spouses. And then from a work perspective, science and researchers have discovered this. From a work perspective, when we take a daily component, daily dose of this component, that it increases our productivity, our goal achievement, our decision-making effectiveness, and networking ability. Now, is that good stuff? Would you buy this if I sold this? And I can prove that this is true. Researchers and scientists have come up with these studies, and there's been a multitude of them over the last 20 years. It's funny how the scripture talks about this all these years. What is it that I'm talking about? I think you probably figured it out, right? You probably figured out what it is. One daily dose of this every day radically changes everything in your life for the better. If you haven't figured it out, what I'm talking about is an attitude of gratitude. an attitude of gratitude. If there's one thing that you could resolve to do this year that would change everything significantly, make everything in your life significantly better, it's acquiring and growing an attitude of gratitude. Scientists have seen this. The studies have shown this. All those things that I just got through talking about, and that was just scratching the surface. There was a whole bunch more that I could have quoted to you, but we don't have the time for that this morning. An attitude of gratitude changes everything. Webster's defines gratitude as a feeling of thankful appreciation for favors or benefits received. It's a warm, appreciative response to kindness. It's basically just being thankful. Just being thankful. And there's two aspects of gratitude that we need to realize. The first of which is there are good things in life, especially in my life. It's important that we realize that. There are good things in life, especially in my life. And the second aspect of that is that the sources of those good things mostly lie outside of myself. The sources of those good things really come from someone other than myself. So there's good things that are there in my life, and the source of those good things are outside of myself. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above, right? It comes from Him. It's not of myself. And we need to be able to realize that. Scripture, over and over throughout the whole Scripture, it talks about the importance of thanksgiving, of gratitude, and an attitude of gratitude. We see in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." What are we supposed to give thanks for? Everything. Yes, everything. We see in 1 Timothy 4:4, it says, we are to receive what God has created for us with gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. In Colossians 1:12, it says, give thanks to the Father. In Hebrews 12:28, it says, show our gratitude to God. Not just simply have it, but we need to be demonstrative in showing our attitude of gratitude. And we see in Romans 1 that it says, when we don't have this attitude of gratitude, that our foolish hearts become darkened, and that we become fools. We become fools. Does that sound like a lot of our culture today? It's because we've lost an attitude of gratitude towards the one that gives us all of these good gifts. When was the last time that we spent any significant time thanking Jesus for all of His good gifts in our life? And for that matter, for thanking other people. Let me remind you, Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit brings heavy conviction sometimes to say you're outside of the sweet spot. When we have this attitude of gratitude, you see all the physical, emotional, relational benefits that come out of this. Why does God command us to be this way? Because it benefits us. Because He loves us and He wants us to be blessed. But when we don't have that attitude of gratitude, we lose all of that. Gratitude has another great blessing also. It brings a connectivity to us. When we are more connected with the people that are giving us those gifts, and they are more connected with us. Are we not naturally drawn to people that want to give us things? If I gave you a new car, then gave you a new house, would you want to hang out with me? Probably would, huh? Yeah, we're drawn to the people that give to us if we recognize the value of what they give us. But when they give to us and we have no appreciation of it, we take it for granted, then we're not drawn. But when we have an attitude of gratitude for what they've given us, it draws us together. It connects us. And not only that, but the person that gives to us wants to give more when we have an attitude of gratitude. Don't you? You know, we just got through going through a Christmas season where we have all these presents and all of these gifts. Bob and I were just talking about stockings, and both of us love to be able to fill stockings, and it's such a fun thing to be able to give and find something new and different for that. But if your kids and your wife or your spouse or whoever it was that you're giving to didn't appreciate, didn't have an attitude of gratitude for what you gave them, would that just rob you of the joy of wanting to give more? But at the same token, if they acted like my little 2-year-old granddaughter that's just like shaking all over and can't hardly stand it, and is it my turn, oh, you know, does that make you want to give all the more? Yes, it does. An attitude of gratitude brings a connectivity in relationships, not only with each other, but especially with Jesus when we have that attitude of gratitude. Try expressing thanksgiving to your waiter, to the clerk that's waiting on you, to your pastor and your pastoral staff, to your spouse, to your kids, to the people around you that give to you on a regular basis, and see how much better it makes you feel. One of the things I love to do is when I go into a restaurant, after I get done, I go back to the kitchen, and I yell out to all of them in a booming voice, "Thank you so much. That was a great meal. I really was blessed by it. Thanks so much for your service." And people do this. It's such a cool feeling. We are connected. And I walk away. As I'm walking away, they're talking to each other. It changes everything in life. And it took me, 60 seconds out of my time to be able to do that? And it brings such a blessing when I'm paying for something at the gas station or when I go shopping or whatever it is, to be able to just take a minute and say, "Thank you so much. So blessed by your smile. Love your earrings, new shirt, whatever it is." It just having that kind of a grateful attitude and appreciation for the fact that they're serving me connects us. It changes everything. It puts a smile in their hearts and in their faces. My brothers and sisters, an attitude of gratitude changes everything, and not just in our lives, but it also changes the lives of others, and it connects us in a deeper and sweeter fashion. We see that it says it's the kindness of God that draws us to repentance in Romans 2:4. It's His kindness. It's His, when He is kind to me and has that kind of an attitude, or He acts like, isn't it hard to believe that God is grateful for us? Am I the only one that's never feel? Why would God be grateful for me? Such a knothead and a knucklehead, and I sin and I disobey Him and I do dumb things, and yet He says He's grateful for me. And I need to be grateful for all that He's done for me. That attitude of gratitude draws us together. We see in the psalmist in 100 verse 4, he says, we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. I think it's the grateful heart that makes me want to go there to begin with, to be in His presence. It's that grateful heart that draws me into his presence, that I want to be there and hang out with Him. Gratitude isn't something we should use as a manipulation tool so that we can get more. That's not what it's about. Gratitude is a celebration of the gift and the giver, and its ability to draw us together. Gratitude is a celebration of the gift and the giver, and its ability to draw us together. Are you lonely today? An attitude of gratitude starts changing that. It's amazing how we will connect with other people when we develop that. Not only that, but it frees us to enjoy all the things that Jesus wants us to be able to enjoy. It frees us from the things that keeps us down. It frees us from this declivity, this downward spiral of life. Jesus in Luke 4 said, "I came to set the captives free." What does He set us free of? An attitude of gratitude sets us free from depression. It sets us free from bitterness. It sets us free from anger and anxiety and frustration, of unforgiveness. It sets us free from all those things that hold us down. It sets us free to be able to enjoy the things that God wants to be able to give to us. Let me give you an example. I want you to think about something right now. I want you to think about something you're thankful for. Just pick something out there, something that you're thankful for, something that you're grateful for right now. Got something in your mind? I want you to just take a minute and thank the Lord for it. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights above. Now, next question is for you to tell me. You don't have to say it out loud, but how did that make you feel? Did it depress you? Did it make you bitter or burdened or stressed or angry or frustrated? I don't think so. It probably made you feel warm and joyful and peaceful and pleased and happy and uplifted. You see, that's because it's hard for these negative emotions to be able to coexist with an attitude of gratitude. They just don't exist together. That's why it makes our lives so much better when we have an attitude of gratitude. Many years ago, the Lord laid an algebraic equation on my heart. He does those crazy things. He just gave me this F equals P. I went, F equals P, okay. F is for focus, the P is for power. focus equals power. The more focus you have, the more power that's brought to bear on that. When you bring this diffuse light in here and you bring it focused into a laser beam, it cuts through steel like a hot knife through butter, right? You bring water running down a hill and you focus it into a stream bed, and it gets big enough and powerful enough to be able to move big boulders and trees and things along that line. And so that's focus equals power. And not only that, but he said the things you focus on have power over your life. The things you focus on have power over your life. It's Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks within himself, so is he. The things you're thinking about are shaping you and molding you into their image. And 2 Peter 2:19, the second half of the verse says, for by what a man is overcome, by this he's enslaved. The things you're focused on enslave you. It shapes you and molds you into its image. That's why Romans 12:2 says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The things that you're thinking on or thinking about are shaping you and molding you to their image. When we have an attitude of gratitude, we are grateful people. We are grateful people. But when we allow the negativity and the bitterness and the depression, it just brings that declivity, that downward spiral. It makes us worse and worse all the time. That's why God's commanding us that we need to have an attitude of gratitude. He doesn't want us to be shaped and molded into the nasty stuff of life, but rather into his image, imago Deo, in the image of God. And we have that, and we have this attitude of gratitude, thanking him, putting our eyes on him, and saying, thank you that you love me enough to be able to give me these things. Are we getting this? Have I convinced you that we need to have an attitude of gratitude? Send me that check. Three easy payments. Oh. And incidentally, it does not make our life perfect. We still have challenges, we still have difficulties, and we will still have failures. But the difference is that an attitude of gratitude navigates us through those things to the victory that God has promised. It gets us there, and along the way, it makes life better in the process of it. Jesus uses the hard things, the difficult things, to make us perfect, complete, lacking in nothing, as it says in James 1:4, to make us, shape us, and mold us into his image. But an attitude of gratitude helps us to get through those things, knowing an attitude of gratitude is, in essence, a statement of faith that I trust God that you love me and that you have a plan and a purpose for this, not for calamity, but for future and for hope, as it talks about that the prophet Jeremiah talked about. And I'm grateful that you love me enough and you count me able and capable enough to be, with your help, to be able to make it through these things, to be able to make a difference around, so that I can comfort others with the comfort you've comforted me with in Christ Jesus, as Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. So often in life, we ask Jesus to change our address. Lord, move me away from my problems. Move my problems away from me. When all the while he's wanting to change our attitude to gratitude, stating by faith in our celebration, in our thanksgiving, in our gratefulness, that we trust the living God and his love for us and his plans for us and his power in our lives and his protection, and that there's purpose for all of this, even in the difficulties and the hardship that we face in life. God has a plan for it, and we can be grateful that he's there. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He will not abandon us, that he's there carrying us through the hard times. And there's purpose there. And the gratitude changes everything in life. Changes everything in life. So I've convinced you, right? We need to have an attitude of gratitude. I guess the next question then is, how do I acquire it and how do I grow it? I'm glad you asked. First way we acquire it and grow it is the standard, typical Sunday school answer to every question. What is it? Anybody taught Sunday school in here? Oh, you haven't taught Sunday school, so you don't necessarily know. It's Jesus, right? You ask kids whatever you want to ask them, they go, Jesus. You go, okay, yeah, that's true. It's Jesus. How do we start this attitude of gratitude? It's Jesus. We go to him and say, Lord, will you help me? James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. 1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence we have. Anything we ask in God's will, we know that he hears us. And since he hears us, we have the thing we've asked for. It doesn't say we will have it. It says we have it the moment we ask for it. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we need to walk by faith in that and not by sight, or paraphrase it, by our feelings. So we need to have this attitude of gratitude, and we get it by asking Jesus to give it to us. Is it his will that we have an attitude of gratitude? Yeah, we saw in all these other scriptures that it says that we're supposed to have that. In everything, we are supposed to be giving thanks, as it tells us. So we need to be daily praying, Lord, give me an attitude of gratitude. Continue to develop that in me. Let that be our prayer on a daily basis, and then step out and act on it, even though I don't feel like it. We see in the Old Testament, Leviticus 7:12, that it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Being thankful is not always easy, is it? It's not always easy, and sometimes it's a sacrifice. But I'm going to sacrificially give thanks for this, knowing that my God loves me, and he's got a purpose and a plan in this. And I'm going to be thankful because it changes everything for me. It changes my emotional relationship with him and within my own life. It lifts me above the depression. It lifts me above the fear and the anxiety. It changes everything. Scientists have even studied that and said that it's true. God said it a long time ago. They're just kind of catching up in the last 20 years. So we need to be asking Jesus to be able to give us this attitude of gratitude, and that needs to be daily in our prayers. And then we need to step out by faith and act on it. And then our feelings will catch up with our faith-filled actions. Is that cool? Okay, so we ask Jesus for it, number one. Second thing we need to do is, you ready for this? You're going to do this, right? You're committed to this, right? Okay. I need for you to make a list of everything that you're thankful for. What I really encourage you to do is you can start today with this, whatever, you know, your yellow tablet or your phone or whatever you want to be able to do that on. But what would really be cool is to find some kind of a cool book or a little something that has some value to it, and write it there. Write down everything that you're thankful for. And for some of you, you're going, well, that list would be pretty short. Well, I hope that you'll change that, because there's a lot of good things that Jesus has given you. Let me throw some out. How about your hair? Some of you are in here, you go, well, I don't have much to be thankful for. Yeah. How about the hair on our chest? No. How about the hair around in our armpits? It's there for a purpose, you know? It really helps ventilate and keep things in the proper fashion. How about the hairs in your nose? You know, if you did not have the hairs in your nose, you know what would be happening? You'd be breathing in all of these allergens and all this dust, and you'd be constantly sneezing and coughing and having problems, and it would affect your health. How about the hair on your eyebrows? Do you know that your eyebrows are there for a reason? They wick the water and the sweat that comes on your forehead so it doesn't get in your eyes. When that's not working, it's running into your eyes, and your eyes are always burning and you can't see very well. Or how about your eyelashes? Your eyelashes are keeping the dust out of your eyes. You know, have you ever been in a dust storm and that your eyes are irritated and you can't see very well and they're constantly bothering you? That's what would happen if you didn't have those little tiny hairs around your eyes. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for the hair on your eyebrows or your eyelashes? When was the last time that you thanked the Lord for your eyes, for your sight? You know, there's many, many people out there that don't have that privilege. They can't see their children and their grandchildren running around and doing all these fun, incredibly adorable, crazy things. They can't see the beauty of their spouse or the beauty of God's creation. They don't have that privilege. Do you thank Jesus for your eyes? Or how about your hearing? Your ability to hear all the joyful sounds that we hear and the noises and our ability to be able to receive instruction that we would normally not be able to receive. God has blessed us with our ears. And you know, you start losing these things for some reason, and all of a sudden we appreciate them. You know, God doesn't want to take things away from us so that we'll learn to appreciate them. Let's just be thankful for those things as we go along. How about your sense of taste or your sense of smell? Would your Christmas dinner have been very good if you couldn't have tasted it or smelled it? You know, I mean, what a bummer that would be. How about thanking him for your limbs, your hands, your fingers, your feet, your toes? You know, there's these opposing digits, the thumbs. Try picking something up without it. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for your thumb? You know, that's a cool thing. Or your toes. Do you know that if your toes are missing, you fall on your face? Those little tiny digits hold you up. If you don't have those, you'd be walking around going, poof, poof, you know, all the time. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for your toes and the fact that they were working well for you, or your ability to reason, or your relationships? Or how about thanking him for toothpaste and for toothbrushes, or for soap and deodorant, especially considering that the person next to you used it this morning. When was the last time you thanked him for those kinds of things? Or how about a toilet, an indoor toilet? We'll get really down to the dirty things here. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for a toilet, an indoor, so you don't have to go outside in the cold and stick to the toilet seat because when it's freezing? Or how about the invention of toilet paper? You know that toilet paper was only invented and brought into bear like in 1877? They used things like old corn cobs and Montgomery Ward catalog pages and things like that before that. What a horrible thing. Do you thank the Lord ever for, I mean, that's seemingly silly things, but my brothers and sisters, there's so much that God gives us that so many people in the world do not have that we have, and God brings us that blessing to be able to have that. How about sunshine? We live in a place that there's so much wonderful sunshine. Or the rain, when we finally get it, we've learned what happens when it doesn't rain. Now we're all paying higher water bills and using less water. How about hot water and running water? Were you enjoying your warm shower this morning? When it's cold out, how would it feel to get up and take a cold shower or to have to go outside and bathe in the stream? No wonder they didn't take a bath but once a week in the old days. We have these benefits that are given to us every single day. How about our freedoms, that we're not afraid that somebody's going to knock on our door and drag us out of our house and throw us in prison without a trial or for no reason because they didn't like us or because they thought they heard something that we said was wrong? There's so many things, our refrigerator, our washer and dryer, our clothes, our shoes. How about God's loving kindness towards us? And the fact that he purchased for us with his own life, eternal life, the promise of that. And that he gives us strength in our weakness. And he renews us and he forgives us and removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Am I getting to the point here? Is there a lot that we've got to be thankful for? So we're going to ask Jesus to be able to help us to have an attitude of gratitude. Then we're going to ask him to be able, then we're going to sit down and create this list. And make it a long list. Just keep adding to it. And every day when you think about something, go in and add another one to it. And here's the deal. My challenge is this, is that every day you pick five of those things. Randomly, whatever you want to pick them. And throughout the day, thank the Lord for them. Lord, thank you for my hearing. Thank you that you've given me that. Thank you that I can hear my kids scream and yell, but also be able to do those cute little things. Thank you that I can hear my spouse's voice and the joy that brings to me, the love that we can communicate to each other. Lord, thank you that I can hear the noises around me in nature and the blessings of that. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me that. And just take five of them every day and just thank the Lord throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, recount your blessings. Before you go to bed, recount your blessings. Just think back through the things that you can be thankful for. And the ones that are unique and new, add those to your list. Would that just change everything to develop an attitude of gratitude? So we ask Jesus to be able to help us to have that attitude of gratitude. We create a list. We take five of those things every day and just thank the Lord for them throughout the day and then recount our blessings at the end of that. Here's a hard one. You ready for a hard one? Think of somebody that you do not care for. Some of you are going, just one? Somebody that's just really done you dirty, somebody that's done you harm, somebody that you don't like. I want you, as you sit down and you put this list together, to ask Jesus to show you some good things about, good qualities about that person. Wow. Maybe it's only one. Maybe they've got good hygiene. I don't know what it is. But think and write those down. Then every time that person comes into your mind, I want you to stop and think about those things, those good characteristics, and thank Jesus for those. You will be amazed at how that frees you from that person being able to click your trigger anymore. As you have an attitude of gratitude for something about that individual. So when you're having a good time and that person comes to your mind, they no longer ruin the good time. So when you're enjoying relationships and they walk in the room, it no longer takes away from your ability to enjoy that. It will set you free. An attitude of gratitude sets us free from those people having a negative impact on our lives. That's a hard one, huh? So we ask Jesus to give us an attitude of gratitude. We'd be praying for that every day. We sit down and make our long list, five of those every day. We thank Him throughout the day, and at the end of the day, we count our blessings. Then we sit down and think about the people that we don't like and make a list of the good qualities about them so that we replace the negativity about them with an attitude of gratitude and thank the Lord for those good qualities in their life every time we think about them. And then the last thing I want to ask you to do is I want you to think of someone that's blessed you in your life. Somebody that's blessed you. You got that one? And I'm going to challenge you to do something really radical. For those of us that are over 40, this may not be so radical, but those of you that are under 40, it'll probably be very radical. I'd like for you to write a handwritten note to them, thanking them for blessing you, thanking them for what they've done in your life, what they've given you, and thank them for it. And then deliver it to them. You can mail it to them. You can best would be walk over to it to them and give it to them and ask them to read it in your presence. It brings a great connectivity. You know that these researchers and these scientists have studied, and they said that when people do this, that it not only changes life in a better way, but it changes it for weeks and sometimes months afterwards, the impact that it has on both people, the giver and the receiver of that note. Don't text them. I know that would be a simple, easy way to do that. And don't just simply, shoot off an email to them. When you write something, you take the time and the energy to write it out, or even if you want to, type it out and sign it, and then hand deliver it or mail that to them, there's something really significant that changes things in a better way. It's an attitude of gratitude that has a long time of giving. Do I hear an amen on this? So we're going to ask Jesus to be able to give us an attitude of gratitude. That's going to be a daily prayer. We're going to make a list of all the things that we're grateful for. Pick five of those every day and throughout the day, thank Him for those things. And then at the end of the evening, just recount our blessings and throw those out there also to add to our list. We're going to think about somebody that has done some wrong things to us and ask God to show us some good things. And every time we think about them, we're going to be thanking Him for those good things in that person's life. And then we're going to write a note of change to be able to, of thanksgiving to people that are around. It will change an awful lot of things. And let me give you one last thought on this too. This attitude of gratitude helps us to overcome the hedonic adaptive impulse. What is a hedonic adaptive impulse? Hedonism is the philosophy that the highest purpose of life is to pleasure myself. Does that sound like our culture today? It's all about pleasuring me. That's the highest purpose of life, is pleasuring myself. And this hedonic adaptive impulse, what happens is that what is good today isn't so good tomorrow, right? I enjoy it today. It brings me great pleasure. But after a couple of days, then I get used to it. I adapt to it. And so then it's no longer pleasurable. So I'm on this treadmill of constantly looking for better things, bigger things, more titillating things, more exciting things, something to be able to pleasure me more. What pleasured me today isn't enough for tomorrow. No wonder we have this horrible declivity that's going on in our culture where we're downwardly spiraling, because it's all about me and pleasing and pleasuring myself, sensual pleasure, and it's never enough. An attitude of gratitude breaks that cycle. It gives me an appreciation for the gifts that I have. It gives meaning to those gifts. And it keeps me pleasured by those gifts because I recognize how they are impacting my life. Does that make sense? And we in our culture desperately need this, because we are definitely living in a hedonistic culture, and we need to be freed from that. An attitude of gratitude does that. So let's be grateful in the small things and in the big things that others have given to us, especially Jesus and each other. But especially, let's be grateful to the one who's given it all, who loves us unbelievably, who's done it all for us, and that's Jesus. Hebrews 12:28 says, show God our attitude of gratitude. Let's be demonstrative in that. And Psalm 118:1 reminds us, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His loving kindness towards us is everlasting. An attitude of gratitude changes everything for the better. Have I convinced you? If I have, then let's hear you say amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great and wonderful reminder of the one thing that we can do, Lord Jesus, this one thing that can change everything in our lives and make them so much better. So, Lord, we pray right now that you would not let us leave this room without hearing these things and remembering these things. And if we forget everything else, just simply to start being thankful, Lord, and asking you to help us to be there. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you all. Thanks.